here, whereas if you don't test it here, it could very well not work, and your other friends in Zvelar will die as a result." Davian licked his lips. "What happens if it half works?" Nethgulla held his gaze calmly. "Normally I would say death. Horrible, painful death." She cocked her head to the side. "In your case, though, I suppose it must just be horrible, painful injury." Davian scowled at her. "You could pretend to care."
"I could."
Nethgulla shrugged at him, then gestured. Davian focused to see a thin line of Khan flowing out from her fingertips, gently settling just inside the walls. He frowned. "You're silencing the room?"
"Horrible, painful injury," repeated Nethgulla.
Davian glared, then gritted his teeth and took the vessel from her, unable to help but push through Khan and examine it again. The lines were almost invisible, the actual structure a mess of complicated components that he was still struggling to fully understand. If their situation here had not been so dire, Davian would have suspected Nethgulla of trying to fool him into making something else entirely. But she insisted that the majority of the mechanisms were to deal with the change of form, not just slight physical changes, but entire pieces of anatomy morphing. It would, she had cheerfully assured him, be excruciating, even if successful.
"You should probably take off your clothes, too."
Nethgulla rolled her eyes at his expression.
"I went to considerable effort to get you something to replace those rags you were wearing, so don't expect me to do it again because you were feeling shy. And no, before you ask," she added, "I'm not looking away."
Davian snorted irritably, but began stripping. Nethgulla was right. Dargaethan were much bigger than people. Keeping his clothes on would only ruin them. He finished and glanced over at her again, surprised when she gave him the slightest nod of encouragement. Trying not to look as self-conscious as he felt, he picked up the vessel, settled it around his neck and, muscles straining, bent the two points of the cut steel band until they reconnected. There was a small flash of light as the vessel activated and began drawing a tiny amount of essence from him, energy pulsing to life around Davian's throat as the cool steel pressed against his skin. For a moment, nothing happened, and Davian felt a selfish flicker of hope that perhaps this wouldn't work after all. Perhaps he'd done all he could, but it simply wasn't possible, and they would need to find another way. Pain ripped through him. This wasn't like when he'd shapeshifted into Ilanis, deeply unpleasant though that had been. This felt as if everything were being torn apart, piece by piece. His blood felt like fire, burning away at the inside of his veins. He fell to the floor, a bubbling scream ripping from his throat, which was suddenly clogged with hot, salty liquid. Through the haze of red, he saw his arms start to stretch, then ooze blood as sharp black slivers began crawling up through his skin. He squeezed his eyes shut as even those began to boil agonizingly in their sockets. Then, after an age, it was over. He opened his eyes cautiously, and panic immediately set in. It wasn't that he couldn't see, but everything seemed bright. No color, just lines of light everywhere, forming images and outlines. He twisted to look down at himself. There was nothing there.
"Did it work?"
His gaze turned toward Nethgulla. His strange vision didn't allow him to see finer features, but it was her. His words came out harsh, and he flinched at the sound, almost choking off the last word in surprise. Nethgulla stirred from her reclining position in the corner, though he could see that she had been tense.
"It appears that it did."
There was a mixture of trepidation and fascination in her tone.
"How do you feel?"
"How do I feel?"
Davian felt a surge of anger, and he tried to get to his feet as he hissed the words, only to fall back again when he discovered that he had none.
"How do you think I feel, you stupid?"
He trailed off, forcing down the flash of fury.
"Sorry."
Nethgulla hadn't moved,
but he sensed something from her. Caution. It annoyed him.
"You know who you are? You remember what you're doing?" Nethgulla asked after a moment.
"Yes,"
he snapped. Nethgulla nodded slowly.
"But you are affected in other ways,"
Davian swallowed an irritated reply.
"Everything you say makes me angry,"
he agreed as calmly as he could.
"I hear that all the time."
Nethgulla smiled to show she was joking, but she swallowed the expression quickly when she saw no trace of amusement from Davian.
"It must be the physiology. Your mind gives you more control than they have, but the instincts will remain as long as you are in that body."
Davian acknowledged the statement curtly and tried to rise, but immediately flailed to the ground again, landing awkwardly on his back and thrashing around furiously for several enraged seconds before forcing himself to calm. Everything felt wrong, from the scales stabbing into his flesh everywhere, to the strange vision, to the fact that he no longer had any legs. It was also disorienting, and that made it even harder not to lose his temper.
"How do I stand up?"
he snarled. Nethgulla made no move to help him.
"Your muscles are different from a human's. They will be strong enough. You will have inherited that from the body. But you are going to need to learn to use them correctly."
She gestured, looking vaguely helpless.
"Imagine the way a Dargaethan moves, and try to replicate it. That is how I adapt to a new body quickly. I try to move in the same way as the imprint did. It's the only advice I can give you for this particular problem."
"I don't remember any of them ever having to get up off the floor,"
Davian spat. Still, he stopped moving and closed his eyes. He had interacted with Istharis and Theshiseth and seen other Dargaethan in the distance plenty of times now. He knew the creatures well enough to picture their movements. Awkwardly, carefully, he pushed himself up, levering his body with surprisingly strong arms until he managed to curl his tail, he shuddered a little at the thought, beneath him. To his surprise, once it was in position, balance seemed to come naturally. It was only when he began to think about it that he found himself wobbling again, forced to brace himself against a nearby wall. He twisted to see Nethgulla watching him silently. It was hard to tell what she was thinking, as he couldn't properly make out her features, but eventually she shook her head.
"You look just like one of them," she said faintly. "I do not know whether to be relieved or horrified that this is possible, but..."
She gestured.
"Now we know."
Davian grunted.
"So I can change back?"
The thought of undergoing the pain of the transformation again filled him with dread, but not more than the thought of staying like this. Every moment he remained in this form felt wrong.
"Not yet."
Nethgulla sounded almost apologetic, but mostly fascinated.
"You need to walk, slither around a bit. See how accustomed you can become to the body. Stay like this for a time to determine whether there are any slow-acting negative effects, and to mimic what the others will likely need to go through," she added.
Davian let out a hiss of irritation, causing Nethgulla to take a wary step back, but acceded with a jerk of his head. The next hour passed in stomach-churning discomfort. Davian followed suggestions from Nethgulla, learning to move, adapting to the strengths and weaknesses of the Dargaethan body. His physical control improved dramatically, but none of it made him feel any better. There was a constant fury bubbling inside him, irrational and barely suppressed. He hated every second of it. There were other things of note, too. Touching Khan was immensely difficult, though whether because of his state of mind or because the black scales were interfering, he couldn't quite decide. The vessels built into his arms were gone, too. Nethgulla postulated that they were akin to physical alterations to his body, like tattoos, and so would disappear and reappear as he changed forms. That was an interesting thought, though not something of which he could make immediate use. Finally, Nethgulla gave a reluctant nod. "That should be enough," she conceded. "You can tell Tal that an hour in this form is safe. Anything beyond that, though, is an unknown."
Davian didn't bother to point out that Tal was the only one he wasn't worried about. He carefully reached up and pulled the two points of the metal band around his neck apart. Nothing happened. Davian's heart began to pound wildly as the seconds dragged by.
"I'm not changing back," he growled in horror.
"You will," Nethgulla's voice was soothing. "You just need to wait."
"Easy for you to say," snarled Davian, feeling his tail whip about wildly in anger.
Then there was something. A shift in his tail, pain ricocheting up his spine, a ripple of stabbing sensations as scales began to retract. The next few minutes passed in a terrible red blur. Afterward, Davian just lay there for a while with his eyes closed, breathing, gingerly moving his arms and legs, barely daring to believe that the nightmare was over.
"Do I look all right?"
he asked, opening his eyes. Nethgulla's arms were crossed.
"That's subjective," she said. "But yes, you are back to the way you were before."
Davian drew a shuddering breath, pushing through Khan, relieved to find it childishly easy to touch again. He examined the reserve in his body and the vessels in his arms. They seemed intact.
"Nothing was damaged," he said,
too relieved to feel self-conscious this time as he retrieved his clothes and began to dress again.
"The vessels have reformed. I even seem to have the same level of essence in my reserve."
Nethgulla nodded thoughtfully.
"Just like any other physical attributes? Interesting."
She sighed.
"That alone is a year's worth of experimentation I would love to pursue."
Davian glowered at her as he slipped on his shirt.
"No, thank you."
Nethgulla smiled.
"I know."
The expression faded as she studied him.
"How do you feel? Emotionally, I mean."
Davian paused, considering.
"Better," he conceded. "Certainly less like I want to attack anything that moves." "Good. A purely physical effect, then."
Nethgulla stepped over to the metal band that Davian had placed on the ground once he had changed back, picking it up and running a finger along it in what looked disturbingly like a caress.
"You have created something unique here, Davian. Truly a thing of great beauty."
Davian watched, not responding, not really knowing whether he agreed either. Nethgulla had been right about one thing. Shapeshifting was unlike anything else that used Khan. It dealt far less in hard angles and neat lines. As he'd built the mechanisms, they had created complex forms, but they were unique, gave the impression of disorganization even as they were carefully positioned. The result was a haphazard maze of complexity. If he had not put it together himself, didn't understand how precise the positioning had to be, he would have said it looked more like a child's drawing than a work of art.
"It's certainly different from anything else I've seen," he conceded. "If you couldn't see the endpoints, I'm not sure that it could even be identified as a vessel." "You're right. The other forms of Khan are all recognizably related, even if we can distinguish them, like buildings. One may be a house, another a church, another a shop, and yet another a stable. But they are all structures. They all follow certain rules, whether we think of them that way or not."
Nethgulla gestured at Davian's creation.
"That looks like no other vessel I have ever seen. It's not just an unrecognizable structure. It's unrecognizable as a structure. Even if one of the Venerate came across it, I cannot say whether they would be able to determine what it was unless they activated it."
Davian nodded slowly.
"And you're sure that my providing the one imprint will work for all of them? They won't need to have been the ones to kill the Dargathan?"
Naya and Tal wouldn't have been an issue in that scenario, but he had no idea whether Raelith had ever actually slain one of the creatures.
"I'm sure. If it works once, it will work for all," The woman stood, stretching. I do not know how you intend to make something this delicate twice more in the time that you have, but I would start as soon as you can. People have begun to notice my absences. You have a couple of days at most to finish up. Davian hesitated. You're sure there would be no chance of me getting back in here if I just... No. Nethgulla said the word with simple, calm confidence. Cassandra knows that Tal is coming, Davian. The protections that the Venerate have around this complex are immense. I myself would never have been able to get through if I hadn't used the identity of someone who was already allowed in. If you want to go back to Zavalar, then this is your one and only chance. She waited to check that Davian understood, then reluctantly tossed the working metal band to him. Use this as a reference. If something is even slightly off... I know. Davian was already preparing to activate his focus vessel. It would be difficult to get this done under such time pressure, but his control had improved enormously, and he had confidence from having a working prototype now. He thought he could do it. If he didn't, his friends in Zvelar were going to be stuck there. He turned his attention to the next of the bands, letting more essence flow into his fingertips as he prepared to make the incision in the metal. There was still plenty of work left to do. Davian studied the original steel band's con structure, then carefully added another line, identical, whisper-thin, to the third and final one. He exhaled after it was done, comparing the results with a critical eye. This last section of the vessel wasn't dependent on orientation, so it didn't matter where he placed it relative to the main mechanism, though he'd tried to keep everything consistent. He nodded to himself. The copy was near flawless, at least at first glance. He felt a flush of pride, though he pushed it down quickly enough. A day and a half straight of work without sleep, and he was almost done. He breathed out, then began the laborious process of checking the metal band against the original again. Every comparison was painstaking. Sometimes he still decided to shorten or lengthen a line of con slightly or straighten another, but otherwise it was good. As close as he could get, given the circumstances and the speed at which he'd needed to make it. The question, of course, was whether it would still work. Remembering Nethgulla's logic, he had already undertaken the task of testing the second band. The process had been as deeply unpleasant as the first time, but it had worked without issue. Now, after a second fastidious recheck in which he changed nothing, it was finally time to try the third. The sound of scrambling through the narrow, low tunnel to the cave made him flinch, and his heart leaped to his throat before he saw Nethgulla's now familiar form emerging from the hole in the wall. "You're early," he said accusingly, heart slowing to its regular beat. Nethgulla waved away his statement, her face flushed with excitement. "A gate just opened in the city." "What?" Davian stared at her. "You mean... it's Tal. It has to be. Cassandra wouldn't need to open one here, and no one else has the ability to create them." Her eyes were alight with anticipation. "Get ready. Cassandra will have felt it as well. We need to get out of here, find Tal, and help him." Davian frowned. "No, that's not the plan," he said firmly. "I have to go back." "That doesn't matter anymore," said Nethgulla impatiently. "He's here, Davian. It's happening now. You can't help him retrieve Lycanius if you're in Zvelar." She gestured, evidently thinking that there would be no argument. "Come on. There's no point in me concealing my identity now. I'm going to find him, and so are you." Davian wavered, looking at the tunnel. It was tempting. He still had no idea whether this would work, and Nethgulla was right about one thing. If Caden was here, then he was here to get Lycanius, not to mention maybe to try and rescue Davian. Nethgulla plainly wasn't going to wait for him either. This was probably his one chance to escape with someone who actually knew their way around. But the moment passed quickly. Tal would get out of Zvelar somehow. That much was a given, regardless of whether he went back. But Raelith and Naya? They would be trapped. Without Davian, without what he had just created, There was no chance for them. A little over 8 months he'd known them, but it felt like so much longer. It felt like a lifetime.
No, he said softly.
Nathgala stared at him blankly as if not comprehending what he was saying.
No,
she repeated, her voice low and dangerous.
I have to go back.
Debian met her gaze determinedly.
It's not just Tal. I have friends back there. They need my help. I promised them my help.
They would understand, exclaimed Nethgala in disbelief. Her expression darkened further as she studied him.
Listen to yourself, Davian. You want to go and protect your friends over the fate of the world. We all have to make sacrifices. Stop being so selfish.
She nodded to the tunnel and waited expectantly, as if that were the end of the conversation. Davian shook his head.
I'm not like him. Like Tal, he said. I'll sacrifice myself if I need to. I'm prepared for that. But I won't sacrifice other people. Even if I thought it was all right. Even if it wasn't possible to save them. Which it is, he added firmly, forestalling Nethgala as she opened her mouth.
Tal, Caden, is my friend. I understand why he's done what he's done. But,
he gestured tiredly,
he's always been an effective man, Nethgala. A man who wins. But I think he knew that wasn't enough.
Nethgala considered him.
What's the point if everyone dies? Morals are all well and good, Davian, but this is reality. We need people who will actually fight for what's right.
Davian shook his head again, something Raelith had said coming to mind.
It's not enough to fight for the right side. You have to figure out how to fight the right way, too. If winning is truly all that matters, then we've lost sight of what's actually right and wrong in the first place.
Nethgala stared at him silently, her expression unreadable.
Make certain to conceal those around your arm the same way as you brought them in, she said eventually, motioning to the three steel bands. If you're caught, at least you might be able to get away again without them being seen. You shouldn't have too much difficulty, though. Everyone's still acting as if nothing's wrong, despite the fact that the entire place should be in an uproar by now.
She shook her head worriedly at that last part. Davian looked at her in surprise.
That's it? I am not going to try and force you to escape, said Nethgala dryly. I think you're foolish, possibly a liability. But my debt to you is paid, so I will not wait for you. If you wish to get out of Talon Gol, you will need to either catch up to Tal and me, or find your own way.
Understood.
Davian slid the bands under his sleeve.
How will you find him? This is a big city, and I doubt he's going to make his whereabouts obvious. I have a trace,
Nethgala assured him. She paused for another moment, as if waiting for him to admit that he'd changed his mind. Then, with another sigh and a sharp nod, she disappeared back into the tunnel. Davian stared at the darkened hole, a bud of panic threatening to bloom before he took a steadying breath. What he'd said to Nethgala was true. He couldn't be like them. They, Tal included, possibly, would disagree with the choice, call it weakness, as would Gassandrid and the other Venerate. And that was the point. Asha, Weir, even Caden, he thought, would consider its strength. Raelith had been right. That he should fight was unquestioned. But how he fought mattered just as much as the result of the conflict. Tal's entire history was testament to that. It was decided anyway. There was no benefit to second-guessing himself now. He crawled out of the cave that had been his home for the past week, and headed back into the glimmering steel passageways. Chapter 45
Davian moved silently along the newest of the shining passageways he'd opened, every sense straining for any sign of danger. Nethgulla hadn't been wrong about the lack of reaction to Tal's apparent arrival. The main hallways had been close to empty, certainly no busier than they had been a week ago. Those who traveled them had looked calm, too, in a vaguely disinterested sort of way, simply going about their daily business. It was, just as she had said, as if nothing were wrong. Even so, Davian had been forced to duck down passageways and stray from his path to the portal several times. Though his invisibility vessel might allow him to simply walk past most people, some of the ways were narrow, and there was too good a chance of an accidental collision giving him away. At one point, he'd actually had to retreat to avoid a group of men in Telesthasia, who were taking up the entire breadth of the hallway, making it impossible to get by. They'd had their unsettling helmets on, too, moving in an organized band and accompanied by a single soldier at the rear whose vision was unimpaired. That had to have been the commander Tal had explained was necessary for these squads, the mental link of the armor providing coordination and sight to the whole team. It hadn't been long after that he'd finally found his way into the passageways hidden away behind the steel walls which Nethgulla had known about and suggested he use. They were expansive, a maze of steel corridors sealed off from the others, able to be completely reconfigured at will. It took only a quick application of essence to the correct endpoints to open and close their entrances. He paused and pressed through Khan again, assessing his progress. It had been impractical to try and remember his way back to the portal, but the portal itself emitted a distinctive, pulsating Khan signature that was impossible to miss, even with the myriad other vessels blocking the way in between. All he had to do was keep angling toward the point from which that energy was emanating. He kept his own Khan at the ready, constantly checking for anyone coming up ahead, not willing to trust purely to the security of his invisibility vessel. Nobody had appeared thus far, though. Minutes passed in silence as he hurried forward. A couple of times he was forced to open ways around areas that were apparently tuned only to a specific person's essence, the steel plates in front of him immovable. One was a room in which, after pushing through Khan to look inside, he spotted several vessels, easily visible due to their time-locked metal, including a sword that seemed to almost writhe with dark energy. In another, there was a sleeping woman with Khan threads branching off her everywhere, though he was too far away to determine the thread's purpose. He hurried past. He could easily sense the portal now, could almost see the metal around him. This giant vessel the Venerate had constructed, holding back the corruption of time. He still shivered at the concept. Whether that was due to the idea of Zvelar's corruption reaching through to the real world, or the fact that the Venerate had been both knowledgeable and powerful enough to hold it back, he wasn't sure. The flashing and quivering of the plate to his left was the only warning he had. He dove forward as the steel snapped against the opposite wall with a crackling crash, blue energy spitting where the two met. He rolled smoothly to his feet, quickly checking his surroundings, but Khan revealed no sign of an attacker. He tried to activate his time vessel. Nothing happened. He was too close to the distorting effect of the portal now.
"I am impressed that you managed to hide for so long, Davian," came a female voice through the newly made opening in the wall.
Davian's heart lurched. He knew immediately that it wasn't her as she walked into view. Even from here, he could spot the dead eyes, could tell from the unnatural way she spoke. Scars covered her entire body where she had been mauled, entire chunks of flesh missing. She came to a stop, staring at the exact spot where he was standing.
"Fessy," he whispered, a chill of indecision and shock running down his spine.
"I was saddened by her death," said Cassandred, the words grotesque coming from Fessy's mouth. "And I know that she was your friend. So I have truly done my best not to flaunt this body in front of you."
Anger flared at that, hot and dark.
"But you're happy to use her corpse, of course," spat Davian.
He took an unconscious half-step forward before clenching his fists tightly to his sides, wrenching his emotions back under control. Cassandred was undoubtedly trying to rattle him here, hoping to goad him into rash action. He dropped his invisibility shield.
The venerate would easily and accurately be able to track his movements using Khan, and presumably already was, so it was only a drain on his essence now.
I am not the one to refuse the gifts El gives me, Davian, and ultimately our bodies are merely vessels. I only use this one because she was once bound to the forge, and there are benefits. It does not decay the way the others do. My connection is far stronger, and Khan is—
Cassandra trailed off, sighing, Vessi's empty blue eyes locked on Davian's.
But I do not expect you to understand.
Davian kept his breathing steady this time, watching in his peripheral vision for any shifting of the surrounding plates. Silently, he activated his strength and focus vessels. Cassandra was likely intending to throw him back into Zavalar, but if Davian was captured, the vessels he had hidden around his arm would undoubtedly be found and stripped from him first. He couldn't allow that.
You're right, he said grimly. I don't think I'll ever understand.
He twisted and leaped with essence-enhanced legs along the corridor, moving at blinding speed away from Vessi's unsettling gaze and toward where he knew the portal to Zavalar waited. Behind him he heard a furious, surprised shout. Cassandra had probably expected him to face him head-on, to fight. He'd gained a few precious seconds doing this. It would have to be enough. The next minute was madness, an utter confusion of shifting, glittering steel and crackling essence. The corridor became a blur of movement as plates everywhere began to tremble and spin, slamming together, a confusion of motion as they rushed to crush him, to block his way. He knew how to manipulate them too, though. He sprinted with everything he had, leaping over some plates and sliding under others as they moved, kicking off shifting walls to evade blasts of essence thundering past him from behind. His focus vessel kept him calm, let him calculate each step a second before he had to execute it. Every time he used his momentum to push off the steel, he sent essence into the end points and reversed or halted the upcoming plate's motion, continuing to open up the path in front of him. Cassandra clearly had the upper hand in experience, though. The way ahead became narrower and narrower, the furious activity of the plates increasingly hard to dodge. Finally, he caught a glimpse of the black void of the portal, a steel plate ahead lowering into position to block him from it. It was already halfway to the floor. He forced essence into an endpoint, just enough to slow the plate's movement, and with a last desperate dive, he threw himself bodily beneath the shifting steel. The descending metal edge barely missed his face. It did catch his arm, though. There was a pulling sensation, and then a clattering behind him. Dismay stabbed at him as he clutched at where the metal band had been. The vessel had been ripped off by the impact, possible only because of its new open-ended shape. He recovered swiftly, rolling and scrambling back, but it was too late, and the band was too far away. The steel plate sealed to the ground with a crackle of blue energy, hiding the vessel from view. He stopped, mind racing, his panting breath audible over the furious buzzing of plates all around him. The portal was here. He still had two vessels. Perhaps he could make another while in Zavalar. Perhaps if he gave one to Naya and the other to Raelith, Tal would find another way out. But no, neither would work. The first he'd already discounted. There was nowhere near enough time, and the delicacy required of the work made it impossible anyway, no matter how much he leaned on his focus vessel. And the other? The other just wouldn't happen. Tal clearly ended up with one of the vessels. There was no miraculous solution waiting to reveal itself. He pushed his palm against the violently vibrating floor, activating an end point and commanding the steel plate to rise again. Fessy, Cassandrid, stood patiently on the other side, examining the metal with intense curiosity. A plate slammed into place in the tunnel behind, sealing him and Davian inside the room with the portal.
"What is this?" asked Cassandrid as he held the steel aloft, the expression on Fessy's face one almost of distaste. "Why don't you activate it and find out?" Davian assessed his options as he spoke. Cassandra was better at manipulating the plates, but he'd also be cautious of being dragged into Zavalar. That was something Davian could use to his advantage. Cassandra opened his mouth to retort, and Davian attacked. He leaped straight at Cassandra, crashing through the disruption shield that he'd known would be there, the wave of dizziness and nausea that accompanied it, hitting him hard. His focus and pain vessels quickly corrected the sensation, though.
Davian knew that it was going to be deeply unpleasant when he turned those off again, perhaps even dangerous, but right now he didn't care. He tackled Cassandra to the ground and elbowed him hard in the face, doing everything he could to remember that the body he was attacking was no longer his friend. Cassandra cried out in shock, no doubt stunned at both the directness and the effectiveness of the move. Disruption shields were made specifically to negate this sort of brute physical assault, and everyone who used Khan knew as a rule not to bother with them. Davian struck again, then wrenched the vessel from Cassandra's hand and rolled to the side, slamming his palm into the plate below him. Cassandra, dazed as he was, realized what he was doing too late. He screamed as steel crashed down on his legs, accompanied by a horrendous cracking, squelching sound. Davian leaped to his feet and backed away, heart pounding. Cassandra was somehow still conscious, Fessy's face a mask of pain as her form dragged itself along the steel, bloodied stumps smearing red behind her.
"You are better than I expected, Davian. But there is still no escape."
Cassandra smiled coldly through evident agony, the expression heartbreaking to see on Fessy's face.
"You cannot help Tel'Kamar now."
Davian locked eyes with the Cassandra proxy, then placed his hand against the wall, locating the endpoint.
"That's not what I'm trying to do," he said grimly.
Cassandra's eyes went wide. Fessy's hand stretched out as if to try and stop him, but it was far too late. The plate slammed down unthinkably hard, crushing the proxy to a red smear. Davian closed his eyes, breathing hard, pausing and allowing himself to feel now that it was over. Sharp, deep grief, though he knew Fessy had been dead for a year. Horror at what he'd just witnessed, what he'd been forced to do. His stomach finally settled, and he steeled himself, carefully pushing the metal back over his arm. Right now, he had to focus on those he could still help. He turned and stepped into the black portal once more. Davian stumbled to his knees as he burst into the dull crimson light of Zvelar, everything trembling as the ground shook and the familiar rumbling, cracking sound filled the air. He immediately checked his arm, giving a sigh of relief as he felt the three bands there. His pain and focus vessels had remained active, thankfully. He was still nauseous and dizzy from crashing through Cassandra's disruption shield, which meant that without his vessels, he'd probably be unable to move right now. He sucked in a lungful of air, shaking his head for clarity. He needed to get back to the tower, get to the others. Fast! Where was he, exactly? He scanned the shadowed broken city stretching away in front of him, several buildings still crashing to the ground as the latest tremor proved a final stress on their foundations. The areas he had come to know well as a scavenger would have changed a lot recently, given the increasing ferocity of all these shocks. In fact, he could already tell that since he'd joined Tal and the others in the crater, the taller buildings he'd once used as landmarks must have universally fallen. That made his months-old memory of the landscape here all but irrelevant. Except for the positioning of the breach, that was. That still threw virulent yellow into the sky, easily spotted against the red and black of the eternal Zvelar night. He traced a path along it, searching for the bridge, but it appeared that too was gone now. He grimaced and gazed around, then closed his eyes. He was on a forested rise overlooking the city. North of the breach, thankfully, judging by the position of the moon. There were a few such rises, but if this was the one he was thinking of... There. He spotted the gap, the complete absence of buildings that marked the crater. He activated his strength vessel and ran. Tremors caused the ground to shudder every minute or so now, the city more rubble than structures as he darted and swerved his way through it, buildings and walkways collapsing around him in constant, violent motion. He avoided tunnels entirely, choosing instead to scramble and leap over piles of rubble where he could, moving as fast as he dared and still keeping one eye open for any Elgoriate. There were none, though, not even any sign of them. That was strange. He reached the edge of the crater faster than he'd dared hope, a strange rumbling chorus greeting his ears just as he crested the short rise. He paled as he saw the source of the sound. For a moment, Davian thought that all was lost. There were hundreds of Algoriat below, every single one snarling, pushing desperately toward the center of the crater, a thick mass of arms and legs and red-tinged teeth. They pressed hard up against the invisible barrier created by the remnants of the metal tower, which Davian finally spotted was still standing, though there was only a matter of feet between its edge and the closest of the ravening banes. His heart unclenched a little as he spotted the three figures pressed back against the steel, occasional flashes of essence firing off in a vain attempt to thin the creatures. Algoriat went down before the blasts, but they were immediately replaced by others, trampling over their fellow Bane's corpses to get just a bit closer, their eyeless gazes transfixed by the metal tower. Davian froze, considering, the focus vessel keeping his mind on the task at hand rather than letting it slide into panic. Could he get through? The creatures wouldn't be able to see him, but he would still have to clear a path. Even with his strength vessel, there were too many to simply barrel through or leap over. He had essence, but far from enough to do anything useful with it. "Well, I can't die," he muttered to himself. There was no time for anything else. No clever plan. He fired off a quick essence flare into the dead sky to let the others know he was coming, and then leaped down into the crater, strengthened legs absorbing the impact. He started running. He didn't stop to think, concerned that if he did, he would hesitate. There simply wasn't time for vacillating. He sprinted out into the open area and began heading for the back of the slavering, moaning crowd of Algoriat. He swallowed as he approached, slowing despite himself. Getting by without touching them would be impossible. They were too closely packed, almost shoulder to shoulder. He walked the last few steps and, heart in his mouth, reached out and tried to push between the first two. Their skin was damp and clammy against his hands, impossibly cold for something living. He took careful note of his position relative to the crimson moon. Every single one of the creatures was taller than him by at least a head, and once he was in this crowd, there was a serious danger that he would otherwise be unable to tell if he was even heading in the right direction. The Algoriat he touched turned their eyeless gazes down and toward him. They bared their teeth and their snarls changed timbre into something even more aggressive and feral.
"Davian!"
It was Naya's voice, faint but managing to pierce the chorus of growls.
"If you're out there, get down and get ready!"
Davian went to his stomach. A moment later, an enormous crowd of Algoriat exploded outward and away from the metal dome, just to the right of where he was, blown by a tremendously powerful blast of wind. Davian didn't hesitate, scrambling up and sprinting with everything he had into the newly created gap, even as Algoriat began blinking into existence in front of him, filling the space in their eagerness to be close to the portal. He dodged and weaved and spun, vaguely aware of a few startled shrieks as he brushed against some of the creatures, but not daring to look over his shoulder even for a second. Finally, he broke into the space between the tower and the Algoriat that was still clear. 10 feet now, if that.
"Dev!"
Tal staggered over to him, still providing the metal tower with essence, just a trickle now, though, as Davian put his hands on his knees, arms shaking, gasping from both exertion and the release of tension. Naya and Raelith were close behind him. Davian gave them a grin as he straightened again, receiving a relieved clap on the back from Raelith.
"Thanks for the opening."
"Thank El, I saved enough for one last blast," said Naya, adjusting the silver band on her ring finger.
"I can't sustain even this for much longer," said Tal bluntly, the words a grim warning to hurry.
He watched with hope in his eyes as Davian removed the three steel bands from his arm.
"Did you succeed?"
Davian coughed.
"Not exactly," he admitted.
It didn't take long for him to explain. It was far from a complex plan, after all, and Tal in particular immediately grasped the logic of what Davian was trying to achieve, even if he seemed dazed and not entirely pleased at the prospect.
"This is madness,"
he muttered, gazing at the bands as if they were hot coals he was being asked to step on, or maybe eat.
"To even build a vessel capable of this is madness, but to change us into one of them? This truly works?"
"It does. I tested it myself. It's safe for at least an hour."
Davian made a face despite himself.
"It's not pleasant, but it will turn you into a Dargaethan and turn you back again on the other side. Your mind will stay yours in between, though.
enough that you won't get lost in the time stream like they do."
He said the last part with conviction, and no one protested, though they all knew that there was no way to be sure it was truly the case. Davian gestured to the two endpoints, pressing on quickly.
"Just force these two edges together to begin the process, then pry them apart once you're clear on the other side. It will draw the essence it needs from the environment."
"What about Raelith?" asked Naya apprehensively. Davian shook his head.
"I don't know," he said simply, addressing the statement to Raelith. "The Dargaethan form won't be infected by dark, but when you turn back..."
He shrugged, glancing at Tal.
"Dark is specific to Zavalar. There's a chance that it will have no place in the real world, that the healthy time stream will simply exorcise it. But," Tal conceded softly, "if it does not..."
Raelith took a breath, nodding.
"If I am still infected, I will come back," he said simply.
He almost absently clasped Naya's hand. She squeezed it and gazed at him with a mixture of anxiety and pride, but didn't gainsay him.
"I am certainly not going to stay a Dargaethan just to survive, and I cannot risk letting this stuff out into the real world. I won't lose it," he finished to Tal, the words a promise.
"But if you can find some gifted..." Davian began.
"Where?"
Raelith said the word gently, strangely sounding like he was trying to comfort Davian.
"I will still be trapped behind the Ilshara, and those who can wield essence in my time are placed in the Serarium. And while I have apparently started a rebellion, it's one that I have no idea how to contact."
He looked him in the eye.
"If El wishes it, I'll be all right. And if it is my time, then it is my time."
Davian bowed his head. It was Raelith's decision, and there was no time to argue.
"We only have a few more minutes. We should let these two say the goodbyes," said Tal, as if reading his thoughts, putting a hand on Davian's shoulder. "And I need to hear what's going on in your era."
Davian swallowed, assenting, as Raelith gave Tal a grateful look. He and Naya walked a short distance away, hand in hand. Tal settled onto the ground with his back to the crimson-lit metal dome, gazing out over the slavering Elgoriat, a trickle of essence still flowing into the massive vessel behind him.
"So," he said quietly, "what do I need to know?"
Davian quickly explained everything he had gleaned from his time back in the real world. Nethgala's revelation about the location of Lycanius, the time difference, Hrethgar and his death, Davian's message to Asha. Neither of them knew whether Tal would have his memories back by the time it came to retrieving Lycanius from Ilshan Gath-del-Teth, but it seemed smart to arm him with as much knowledge as possible. And, as Tal had apologetically pointed out a few times, if he remembered, it could explain why he'd wanted to save Davian. Knowing that he would come here, knowing that there was no point in trying to save him until after he left Zavalar. For his part, Tal took the news about where Lycanius was being kept with resigned stoicism, though Davian couldn't help but notice the tension in his stance, nor avoid seeing the flicker of fear in the other man's eyes. He'd guessed that it was a possibility, clearly, and had desperately hoped against it. Tal quickly recovered himself, though, immediately launching into a description of Shemaloth's sanctuary and how to get to it from seclusion. After a few moments, Davian hurriedly activated his focus vessel and began setting several thin lines of Khan into his left arm, creating a makeshift map of the path that he would need to take. If Nethgala was right and Tal was already in Ilshan Gath-del-Teth, then this would be where he was headed. And by this stage, he might also know, hopefully, that Davian would try to meet him there. Naya and Raelith finally broke apart just as Tal finished talking. There were tears on Raelith's cheeks, and even Stoic Naya's eyes glistened. Davian felt a pang in his chest as they hurried back toward him and Tal, hands still clasped. Once they left, they would be separated by 2 millennia. Finally, Naya reluctantly disentangled herself from Raelith's gasp, hugging Davian fiercely.
"You will never be forgotten," she told him,
Davian's ribs creaking at the embrace. Davian grinned, squeezing back.
"Nor you."
Raelith had moved in front of Tal, and there was an odd silence as the two men stared at each other. Then Raelith extended his hand to Tal, clasping the other man's firmly when he took it.
"Remember that your past does not define you, no matter the consequences," he said gently. "Choice is meaningless without consequences, and a privilege we do not deserve if we will not face them."
"You are facing them, Tel'Kamar. You have changed." He hesitated.
"I can speak only for myself," he added, emotion choking his voice. "But I want you to know, because I do not believe I have ever said it out loud. I do forgive you. I will always hate what you did, but I do forgive you."
He smiled at Tal's suddenly emotional expression. "Just remember that I am not the one whose forgiveness is important." Tal coughed. Though he was trying to hide it, it was obvious he was moved.
"It's important to me," he muttered eventually, looking vaguely abashed. "More than you know."
Raelith smiled and nodded. Davian watched and once again couldn't help but admire the man's strength. In his position, even if he had managed to accept Tal's change of heart, Davian didn't know if he could ever have reacted with the kind of grace that Raelith was showing. Raelith turned to him, his smile sat now as another rumble, the most violent one yet, rocked the ground.
"Naya is right. You will never be forgotten," he said softly, after it had passed. "You've given us so much."
"That goes both ways," said Davian sincerely. His throat tightened with emotion. "I just wish we could have sent you both back to the same time."
Raelith glanced over at Naya, looking lost for words. He scrubbed away a tear.
"Nothing can ever take away the time we had here. Besides, we will see each other again," he added. "One day."
He turned back to Davian, grasping him on the shoulder.
"And I hope we shall as well," he said seriously.
He held Davian's gaze.
"I know you are still searching, still considering. But we both know what's coming. So don't put those questions off for another day."
He took a deep breath.
"Ill with you, Davian. Always."
Davian swallowed a lump in his throat.
"And you."
Naya was finishing saying something to Tal. The two embraced, and then Naya and Raelith were once again back in each other's arms. Their kiss was fierce, as desperate as it was lingering. Tal stepped forward, carefully pressing a vessel into each of Raelith and Naya's hands.
"It's time."
Raelith and Naya looked at each other, and then placed the vessels around their necks. They carefully pushed the two points together. Raelith fell to the ground, shaking, a shout of pain ripping from him. Naya watched in horror, even as she touched the two ends of the metal band together again and again. Nothing happened.
"No,"
muttered Davian, panic rising in his chest. He'd tested these. They worked. Even now, Raelith was sprouting black scales, his legs gradually deforming and stretching into a single, long tail.
"Take mine," said Tal quickly, stepping forward.
The woman faltered, but Tal thrust the band at her. She acceded and removed the first band from around her neck, quickly replacing it with the steel she took from Tal and pressing the two points together. Raelith's screams lifted above the Elgoriot's growling as his clothes began shredding away from his expanding body. But Naya still just stood there, looking bewildered and increasingly terrified.
"I tested them," Davian said desperately.
To his side, Tal hesitated. Something flickered in his eyes, gone in a moment.
"Hold still."
He stepped forward, then placed one hand on Naya's head, the other on her stomach, closing his eyes. Naya flinched, her face going pale.
"What was that?"
"Just try again," said Tal urgently.
Naya frowned, but obediently pushed the two points of the steel band around her neck together. There was a flash of essence, and she crumpled to the ground, the transformation beginning.
"What did you do?"
asked Davian in bemusement, breathing again now that the bands appeared to be working.
"I saved her,"
Tal gestured dismissively at his questioning look.
"It's not important."
A flash of pain echoed through Davian's head at the lie. He considered questioning Tal further, but the fact was his friends were going to get out. That was all that mattered right now. He turned away as the final stages of the process began for Raelith, instead choosing to eye the Elgoriate as the closest ones managed another step forward. Only 8 feet away now. He could see the individual drops of saliva on their needle-like teeth. When he turned back, 2 Dargathans stood before him.
"No time to adjust," Tal said briskly as the 2 moved drunkenly to the side, clutching each other for support. "Stay close to the tower."
He pressed his hand against the steel. One of the plates in the dome slid aside. Davian flinched as there was a surge from all around them, a wave of Elgoriate taking an ominous stride closer before they were stopped again. 4 feet, this time. The creatures could almost have reached out and touched them. Davian unconsciously leaned away toward the portal that somehow still stood in the darkened interior, the gray void swirling past.
"The time stream should send you back, what, 5 or 6 weeks after you left?"
Tal glanced at Davian, who nodded. The math made sense.
"The portal won't be manned. We always assumed that either the Dargathan would report to us, or that they would be insane and their arrival would be apparent soon enough. Use the vessel to change back again as soon as you're away from seclusion, somewhere you can get clothes. Then hide," Tal continued seriously. "Change your names. Don't let the Venerate realize that anyone has escaped from here, or they will hunt you down."
He looked at them both, something pained in his eyes.
"Just move on from this place. Live your lives."
"We will,"
hissed Naya. Davian thought it was Naya. It was hard to tell, and Raelith indicated the same. They held hands, a surreal sight to see 2 Dargathan acting that way, and vanished into the gray stream together. Davian stared at the gray nothingness, then turned to Tal.
"Your turn."
The words died on his lips. The other man's eyes glistened, his expression racked with guilt.
"Of course,"
Tal muttered after a moment, irritably scrubbing away the moisture that was leaking down his cheeks.
"You don't look happy,"
Davian said quietly. Tal hung his head.
"Raelith was wrong. I haven't changed."
There was self-loathing in his tone now, though Davian couldn't fathom why.
"I want to. I have all this information about El, and I believe that he is real. But I do not believe in him."
Frustration threaded through his voice.
"How can I? How can I put my faith in a power that makes me—"
He choked off, another tear running unchecked down his face.
"Raelith says that it's about so much more than just acceptance. It's about honoring, about truly trusting his plan, about love. But how can I feel those things when these are the terrible choices he keeps forcing me to make? I feel anger or nothing."
Davian's heart lurched.
"Why? Why are you saying all of this, Tal? Did they get out?"
Tal waved the question away, bringing himself back under control.
"To the best of my knowledge," he said softly.
"Yes. You saved them, Davian. That's what matters."
Davian frowned, but there simply wasn't time. Another rumble shook the metal dome, everything screeching and trembling, threatening to collapse at any moment. Great crashing cracks thundered over the city outside the crater, audible over the Elgoriate's urgent growls.
"So I'm coming for Lycanius. In your time," said Tal,
recovering enough to move on from whatever was troubling him. When Davian nodded, he breathed out, shaking his head dazedly.
"Then this is it,"
he said, barely loud enough to hear over the rumbling and snarling.
"It seems that your training is at an end."
"This is it," repeated Davian.
Tal pulled in a steadying breath, then fitted the final vessel to himself. The transition was painful to watch, but over quickly. Soon enough, Davian was face to face with another Dargathan. Pure, cathartic relief flooded through him at the sight. All 3 had worked. Tal stretched out his hand, the appendage at the end of a disturbingly short and muscular arm. Davian considered it for a long moment. He grasped it.
"I'll see you soon."
Tal inclined his head. and slithered through the portal. Davian took one last glance around at the red-tinted sea of slavering creatures and stepped into the gray river once again, leaving Zavalar behind for the last time. Chapter 46 Weir crashed through the shadowy, moonlit forest, beating a retreat alongside Tayrus and Shauna. Trees passed in a blur through his blood-flecked vision, branches and dry leaves scratching at his arms and face, as behind him he could hear the unsettling, slithering sound of pursuit. A half-dozen Dargaethan this time, the first he'd seen in a while. The Desrealites must have been keeping some of them back. The three of them leaped a shallow gully and crested a steep rise. With a sharp motion, Weir flicked a twisted line of essence behind him at the dry, dead undergrowth. Flames immediately sprang up, and with the stiff breeze, the fire quickly spread. It was a dangerous ploy, but it was also the most effective one they had left. Fire seemed to do a decent job of confusing the Dargaethan, if not outright blinding them, something to do with the way their vision worked, he assumed. Not to mention that the Desrealites had been slowed as they fought to prevent blazes like this from spreading. The massive columns they were transporting often minimized the damage, sucking the fire's energy away more effectively than fighting the flames with water ever could have, but the columns themselves were cumbersome, far from maneuverable if a blaze got out of hand. The mere threat had helped. It just hadn't been enough. They were half a day from the position that Caden had indicated on the map now. Half a day from the columns reaching the Serrarium and the boundary falling. The Desrealites had broken camp and begun their march only hours after Caden and Asha had left. Weir's efforts to slow them, the fires as well as swift strikes coordinated among the shadows, gifted administrators and soldiers, slashing at the army and pulling away again, had been for naught. The enemy's losses had been exponentially more than their own, but in the end they'd needed to do more. They needed more time. And he was so tired. How long since he'd slept? More than 2 days, he felt certain. His reserve could only sustain him for so long before he needed rest, and he was the one person who couldn't afford to rest, not even for a few minutes. He was the only way their forces could effectively communicate. If he fell asleep, people lost their lives. The thought steeled him, forced him past his exhaustion, and brought the world back into focus.
"Tayrus, stay low, go left and get ready to attack," he gasped, feeling the Oathstone against his chest.
The gifted wouldn't be able to hear him above the sudden explosive roar of the flames, but he would obey. Weir quickly signaled to Shauna, who nodded her understanding and dashed off to the right. He spun and dove to his stomach behind a bush, ignoring the sharp tang of smoke as it reached his nostrils. It made him uneasy. He'd almost been caught in the fires twice now, but the wind was blowing westward, away from him and back toward the oncoming army. There was no need to panic. His body tensed as the group of pursuing Dargaethan burst through the wall of flame. The fire whispered out wherever it touched the Bane's scales. The creatures slowed, serpentine heads swinging wildly from side to side as they searched for their prey. He held his breath. Weir's people no longer had the luxury of scouting, their numbers having dwindled too far. If they'd known the Desrealites were sending Dargaethan ahead of their main force, they would have been more cautious. Too late for regret now, though.
"Tayrus, spear the one closest to you."
Weir flicked his blade up in the air as he spoke, catching it with essence and hurling it forcefully into the first Dargaethan's eye as an essence-carried spear took another of the creatures through the mouth from the left. A moment later, even as three of the remaining four creatures snarled, searching for the source of the attack, the fourth stumbled, eyes bulging, unnoticed by its companions. Weir pulled on the essence to tug his blade free from the Dargaethan's falling body and then sliced at the next in line. The creature was wary now, though, moving too fast, and the steel slid off its facial scales. Weir scowled, swiftly drawing the blade back to himself, seeing Tayrus doing the same with his spear. The Dargaethan that had been choking finally collapsed, its falling accompanied by a hiss of dismay from its companions. Shauna's vessel was one of the more useful that the shadows had brought, allowing her to completely suck the air from a small area. Originally, Tayrus believed its purpose had been to remove the air from the walls of a room, a more primitive version of silencing.
The Dargathan needed to breathe just as people did, though. It was one of the few weapons that had proven effective against them. Three remaining. The Dargathan were splitting up now, slithering at blinding speeds away from each other, silhouetted dramatically by the flaming trees beyond as they began searching the surrounding brush.
Tyrus, ground the one to your right, on my mark.
The other two were headed in Shauna's direction, but her vessel was far more effective than Tyrus and Weir's essence, even combined. She could handle herself.
Now.
The earth beneath the Dargathan exploded upward, sending the creature flailing and thrashing into the air. It half-flipped before crunching back to the ground, its head taking most of the impact. Weir flicked his blade out again, but this time the Dargathan was too dazed to react. The steel caught it cleanly through the eye. It twitched once, then lay still. Weir scrambled from his place of concealment, sharing a tight smile with Tyrus as the scarred man emerged too, tinged red by flaming trees that were close enough for Weir to feel their heat. Weir's essence was almost depleted, again, but the Gilshar couldn't have many banes left at their disposal. Taking out this many of the creatures was a good result. A scream cut through the night, and Weir's heart stopped as he and Tyrus spun in the direction Shauna had gone. They sprinted as one, angling slightly away from the blazing forest toward the sound. Weir was faster, though, bursting ahead through a tangle of leaves and branches, emerging into a small clearing and immediately having to vault the Dargathan that lay dead on the ground. The other one had Shauna. The young shadow was beating feebly at the massive snake's fist around her throat, feet swinging as it held her a clear foot off the ground. Shauna's vessel, a stone rod, was visible on the grass behind her. Weir put everything he had into his charge, but he knew it was too late. The creature threw Shauna against the tree with a sickening crack of bone even as Weir leaped forward, screaming in defiance and tiredness and fury. His blade, miraculously, took the snake in its mouth. It thrashed, ripping the steel from Weir's hand and wrenching his shoulder. He scrambled away with a shout of pain as its tail whipped around wildly. Then it collapsed to the ground, twitching for several more seconds until it finally lay still. Tyrus burst into the clearing somewhere behind him as Weir dashed over to Shauna's crumpled form. The woman was still alive, though her breaths were coming in ragged gasps, tears trickling down her cheeks as she scrabbled desperately to raise herself up.
"I can't move my legs," she whispered, terror in her eyes.
Her breathing was getting shallower and shallower. Weir swallowed.
"Hang on," he told her gently, checking his reserve.
Barely anything left. Not nearly enough to heal a broken back, if he could even do that at full strength, not to mention whatever other damage had been done. He tried anyway, letting essence pour out of him and into Shauna's chest. For a moment he thought it was working as her struggling eased. Then he realized that her chest had gone still. He kept trying, willing her to breathe again. A hand rested on his good shoulder.
"We need to keep moving, Torin," said Tyrus.
He crouched down, gently taking the stone rod from the ground.
"The others will be waiting."
Weir forced a deep breath, steadied himself, stood. The edge of the forest wasn't far. The spreading fire would buy them time, but not much. He clutched the oathstone around his neck.
"Garen, Den, get your squads back to camp," he said quietly,
sending the message to the only two groups remaining. He turned to Tyrus.
"We've done all we can do here," he said grimly. "It's time to head to the Serrarium."
Weir gazed at the ragged group in front of him, each one looking as exhausted as he felt. 100 people, 100 remaining against an army of thousands. Some of each squad he'd put together had survived, but each had also taken heavy losses in this last assault, their final desperate attempt to make the Desrealites think that they were stronger than they truly were. They had started off with 700 willing soldiers. This was all there was left. He closed his eyes, trying to block out the soft moans of the injured who had made it back. A few had burns from having been caught between army and fire. More had gashes from skirmishes, though they had all been told to keep full-blown conflicts to a minimum. Hit hard with essence and withdraw, wait and then repeat. Set fires for larger groups, annoy and distract the smaller ones. He'd coordinated as best he could, and he knew that his ability had made their stand last for far longer than it should have. But it was over now. This was it. Their only option was to try and hold this relatively innocuous plateau against the Desrilites. Retreating was pointless, as once the columns were placed here, all of them, everything and everyone within several hundred miles, would be dead anyway. Part of him still hoped for a miracle, hoped that Caden and Asha and Davian would somehow appear, Caden with Lycanius in hand, just as he'd done in Ilinilan 2 years ago. He kept that tiny flickering light to himself, though. He knew it was too much to ask, knew that even if Caden and Asha had succeeded, their next step was to kill the remaining Venerate. They'd left knowing that this defense was nothing more than a stalling tactic. Coming back, even if Caden knew to make a gate directly here, would at best be a waste of time that they couldn't afford. He breathed out and opened his eyes, surveying the area. The slope evened out to almost level here for almost 500 feet, a mixture of grass and barren stone, before rising sharply again toward the peak of the mountain far above. Nothing to indicate anything special, anything different about this particular section of the Menoth Mountains. If Caden hadn't described it so perfectly, marked it so precisely on his map, Weir would have doubted that they were even in the right spot. After a moment, he started making his way toward where the ground sloped upward again, doing everything he could to keep his head up, to look confident and energized. People made way in front of him, letting him through, nodding respectfully. He couldn't tell whether they believed his act or not, but the small acknowledgments, from gifted, from administrators, from soldiers and shadows alike, helped. Strengthened him just a little. Eventually, he made it to the base of the sharply rising slope, climbing atop a large boulder that allowed him to see across the entire group. Everyone went quiet, watching him. "This is it," he whispered, acknowledging the fact to himself as he gazed over the expectant faces. They looked hopeful, even now. He didn't know whether to laugh or cry at that. He straightened, lifted his face to the crowd. "This is it," he repeated loudly. "I know it doesn't look like anything special, but this is where we stand. If we fall here, if we take even one step back, we let the Gilshar unleash destruction the likes of which none of us can imagine." He knew that it was the Venerate even more than the Gilshar who were responsible, but these men and women didn't need that information right now. They needed an enemy, a purpose. "Ilinilan is gone, but we are still here. We are still here." He paused. There was absolute silence below, every eye on him. "I am not going to lie to you. I am asking everything of you now. There's no retreat. Anyone who remains under my command here is here until we win or we die." He kept his voice firm, steady. "So this is your last chance. Odds are slim. Our purpose is to buy time. That is all. We are the delay. We are the sacrifice." He swallowed. "If you stay, I will be commanding each of you not to retreat, not to surrender, to fight until your last breath. If you are not prepared to do that, leave now and there will be no judgment. I have a vessel that will create a portal out of here, out of range of the Gilshar's weapon, though I cannot promise that where you'd be going will be any better." He smiled tightly, fiercely. "But if you do stay, I promise you one thing. The Gilshar will not forget us." He fell silent, hoping that those who were listening truly understood that he meant it when he said there was no judgment for anyone who chose to leave. It was one thing to ask people to fight, even to die, but this was something else. Even soldiers could break. Even the bravest among them could let the instinct for self-preservation force them to take a step back and then another and then another. He couldn't let that happen. Not today. Not in the middle of battle.
He'd already learned that it took only one man to lose heart for everyone else around him to do the same. But he wouldn't deny them a choice in the matter either. He kept his gaze steadily on the group, a lump forming in his throat. No one moved.
"We're with you, Prince Torin!" shouted someone at the back.
A ragged cheer went up. More an enthusiastic mutter of agreement, really, but Weir still took a moment, bowing his head, emotion suddenly choking his ability to speak. There was fear on the faces of those below him, but a fierce determination, too. The cheer petered out, and he smiled, hoping desperately that it did something to convey how heartfelt his appreciation was.
"Then fate's with all of us," he said, giving the Andoran salute to the people below.
The next couple of hours passed all too quickly. Weir spent time with each man and woman who bore a mark, learning their names, giving each of them the same command. Not to retreat or surrender, not to break, to be focused throughout, never giving in to fear, to be organized, and to not fear death when it came. After them, he spoke with everyone else, using his oath stone to bind them as new administrators, the soldiers, the shadows. Each submitted readily, even if their discomfort was obvious. He issued the same commands to them, all the while hating having to do so. He didn't show any of that to his people, though. He smiled, encouraged, exhorted. He did everything he could to be the leader they needed. Before he knew it, the last man was walking away to join the larger group. Weir gave a soft sigh of relief, then pushed back his weariness once again and hurried to the vantage point that overlooked the gentle but thickly wooded slope leading up to the plateau.